upbeat tonic adagio allegro. Mordant trill, polyrhythmies, hydraulics, polyrhythm, sinastra, portamento, carrying, also sliding from one note to the next, or an articulation between staccato and legato. Movement 2. Your compositions. This part of the show features new works for the piano. On the Keys is actively searching for your piano compositions. Composers of all ages, that's right, all ages, are invited to send me, David Kaiser, K-I-S-E-R, your work for broadcast. Send me an email at davidkaiser@bellsouth.net. Our composer of this second work, featured on your compositions, is by the Detroit-based pianist Ivan Moshuk. The piece is an album leaf, and it's influenced by one of Ivan's great loves, Sergei Rachmaninoff.
Hello. My name is Ivan Moshuk, and I am a concert pianist. I've been studying classical piano for as long as I can remember, and I think I've been firmly planted in the music industry of sorts for about 7 years now, ever since I went to the Peabody Institute in Baltimore for my undergrad, right around the time when I was 18 years old. I think my family, there were no musicians in my immediate family. My parents were scientists, my brother as well. I never really knew what a life in music meant, and neither did they. And I think I've been very fortunate that I haven't had to worry about paying the bills with music to this point in my life. I think I've been blessed with a few opportunities that really propelled me onto stages early on, and I was able to concertize and make a decent living. It wasn't anything luxurious. But then again, I don't think anybody really sets out to do music with the goal of, you know, I'm gonna do music for the sake of paying the bills. I think when someone is compelled to do music, they do it because they have something they really need to share. It's some kind of maybe a spiritual connection to this art, something that they gravitate to, something that's really inevitable. I don't think it's a choice that you make. For me now, I think that even if I were to say to myself, I'm going to do something else, I'm going to go be a lawyer or a doctor, I don't think I even have the luxury of that decision anymore, because I'm so entrenched in this music, and I can't imagine my life without it. I think if there is a day that comes that, you know, when I'm on the street and I'm homeless, and believe me, I think about that almost every day. I think that, these life struggles that we often associate with life and music, it's really a small price to pay for the ability to be close to this art, to study this music, to be able to perform for people. I mean, that's such a privilege, and I'm very grateful that so far in my life I've been able to do that, and I really hope that this will be with me for the rest of my life. Regarding the piece Feuille d'Album, this was a composition that I wrote a few years ago. I remember we were doing a lot of composition exercises in school, and I had some really, I think, terrific mentors that just, I was so excited about this. I loved doing these assignments, and I had all these sketches for these short pieces. We were harmonizing melodies in different styles. I remember, you know, for everything from Bach to Rachmaninoff, Chopin, you know, trying to emulate, you know, styles of Brahms, of Beethoven. And I remember that I was really fascinated with this late romantic kind of turn of the century, end of the 19th century, early 20th century harmonic styles, these really advanced harmonies that Debussy used, that Rachmaninoff and Scriabin also picked up later. I think this was a really interesting direction that we never fully developed in the 20th century. I think it could have gone on to become something really incredible, but instead I think we traded that for other vogues and musical traditions in a way. So really this piece, this Feuille d'Album, it's a bit of that exactly. I really wanted to capture that harmonic style of that time. And of course, I think it inevitably reflects the time when I wrote it. I think, you know, there's always, I hear sometimes these theories that some composers, they detach themselves and write music for the sake of the music. And I find it such a comical statement, because it's really impossible when you think about it carefully to separate your life from what you create. I think there's such an inevitable connection that we all possess. Everything that we do, everything that Beethoven wrote, everything that any composer ever wrote is inevitably connected to the events of their life, of the inspiration that they drew from their life, and the way they reacted to that life. And that's what generates, I think, that content. And so it generates that content and generates meaning in this music. And so, you know, for me, of course, this wasn't, I must say that when I wrote this, it was really not one of my finest hours. It was definitely one of my darker pages in life. It was really, you know, it was toward the end of my undergraduate program. It was a really long 4 years. I was living alone in Baltimore for those 4 years. And I think that this piece reflects a little bit, just, you know, maybe just, you know, a few memories that I have of that time. So I think in terms of influences, if I may say, you know, I really think that inevitably everybody, I think all composers, I think have to battle these accusations of, you know, who they were influenced by. You know, I think even Beethoven, you know, probably early Beethoven, people were always, oh, this sounds like Haydn or, you know, or like Mozart or something like that, you know. It's this question of finding your individual voice. I think, you know, these styles that we use to compose, they're really secondary. I think that the goal is not, for me at least, to find out how can I make this voice, you know, sound as unique as possible. How do I make sure that, you know, my compositional style is absolutely, you know, singular and nobody can replicate it. I was never interested in that. I think that if anything, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter if you write in the style of Beethoven or Mozart, or even, you know, if you're in a completely different genre and you're emulating somebody else's, say, techniques. I mean, these are all just techniques. I don't think this is something that really infuses a meaning. I think that, you know, that's exactly, that's the other side. I think you can really use whatever you want and write in the style that you want, as long as you have something important to share, something that, you know, really is full of energy, something that people can gravitate to. And I think that if I ever return to composition, I unfortunately, you know, for me, I only work, if I'm performing, I can only perform. If I'm conducting, I only conduct. Or if I'm composing, I have to only focus on composition. And I haven't composed in a long time now, but if I ever do return to composition, I think that would be definitely the one thing that guides me. It's, you know, it's not about, you know, how I'm writing, it's really about what I'm writing about. So thank you.
You've just heard the album Leaf in F-sharp minor, a prelude by Detroit-based pianist Ivan Moshuk. You've been listening to the Your Compositions movement of On the Keys. I'm David Kaiser. Have you composed a piano piece since the year 2000? Please send inquiries to keys@scpublicradio.org.